Good morning. Morning to those of you watching online as well. It's my privilege this morning to have with me and introduce to you Pastor Femi Sakoli from the great Messiah Evangelical Fellowship in Pristina, Kosovo. I met him about, 3 years ago and have grown to really admire him in the work that he's doing. His church is not only one of the largest in Kosovo, but one of the oldest at a whopping 25 years or so old, because the country is for many 30 years old, okay? But that's not very old in our minds. But when you learn a little bit more about this country that is largely Islamic, has been for hundreds of years, it's an amazing thing. But I have really grown to appreciate our friendship, admire his ministry, and have spent time talking with him. He even allowed me, when I was there with a team 2 months ago, to speak in his great church. And it's such a privilege to have him back here to speak to all of you. So I want to give him all this time. I know you're going to be inspired by his word. Join me as I say a prayer for this time. God and Father, I thank you so much for this really kind of almost a dream come true for me anyway, to stand here with my brother and friend, Pastor Femi. Thank you, Lord, for the many reasons he's in America and that he has taken a few days to be with us. And I pray, Lord, that this would be sacred time, the rest of this hour, that you would use his mouth, use his heart to bring forth encouraging, challenging words to us. Wherever we are today, Lord, you know all things. You are sovereign in our hearts and in our lives. Bless him, use him, Lord, to speak to us. And we thank you, Lord, for him as your servant this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. It's so wonderful to have fellowship with the Father, and I have a fellowship with the Son, and I have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and I have a fellowship with one another. It's good? Amen. This is why here today. Praise the Lord. I feel very welcomed in your church. This is first my time, but second time of sharing. Usually I don't preach on Sunday 2 times. And those who came for second time, I could guarantee you that Israel really is not the same as was this morning. I tried many times to, when I preached 2 or 3 times, always something comes new. Good. Brothers and sister in Christ, I'm very happy to be amongst you here today. And I want to bring greetings from my family, my wife and children, 3 kids. And just to say that when I met my wife, that was in 92, I met her in the church, the best place, not in clubs, not somewhere here and there, but I seen her in a church. So she had long hair, a lot of hair. I cannot see her face. I was curious. And greetings from our nation. And probably just I want to share a little bit. Those that you came in our country, probably you heard one thing, that our people from Kosovo, they say this. Maybe you don't like, but I say what they are telling you when comes there. God in heaven and U.S. in earth, they say. You like it or not? Okay. Why? Can you imagine happened to us as a nation that 2,200 years we've been under other nation occupying the no freedom till U.S. came and us deliver freedom in 1999. So this is why our people will say God in heaven and U.S. in earth. And you cannot find any other nation, especially with the Muslim majority, that has so much love for U.S. Those who came there, probably you agree with me, right? At least Pastor Rob said yes. I grew as a Muslim. My father wanted me to be imam, mullah, because he was imam. Imam, for those who don't know, or mullah, is a religious leader of the Islamic community. So in this case, Rab could be mullah for this church. So that's it. But in the same year when he wanted me to bring there, my desire was to go in the school to be a pilot. Two different things. But Lord, for me, has another plan. In 15 March 92, reading Bible, this is the way how I became a Christian. In those days, whole our nation has no more than 15 evangelical believers. Can you imagine? Turks has brought Islam for 600 years there, but 30 years ago, it was the first time ever when now some people are coming to know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. And the number now is increasing. So now is there more about 12,000 believers with Islamic background, and in 44 churches. I grew up in a farm, and often I was for 8 years as a shepherd and taking care for cows. And, you know, I could say your word that for me it was much easier to take care to be shepherd of cows than people. I'm for 30 years pastors of people, but it's not easy. When I was shepherd for cows, cows goes, you know, to different field, maybe not yours, and then from a distance I will say, "Hey, Lara, turn this way." And then slowly, what goes to the direction? Hallelujah. But for 30 years, I preach the same thing, and many people doesn't go to the direction that's supposed to be. I'm a pastor of the church, and I like books. I studied literature. And I lead also a network of churches, the only network in our country. And also, I lead the theological academia in our country. So these four main ministries that I do. The reason why this time I'm in U.S., I was in Ames of Iowa. And there, I have heard one expression for the first time that I came in the U.S. I heard the expression there, they say, holy cow. Man, I thought I were living in the Hindu context or what is... So I asked one person, what's mean holy cow? Oh, he said something. I know, brothers and sisters, for holy God, holy Father, holy Son, holy Spirit, holy Bible, but holy cow? I think we should be careful what we make holy. Holy cow. Okay. We need to, now is the time to make a deal, me and you. As you know, so far, as you noticed, my English is not so good, right? Because never in my life I took a single class of English. But I read books. Never I had in school English. So just by hearing and then reading Bible, because I know the story, and then, oh, I figure out what word is for what. So that was the way how I learned English. So today, if you don't understand something from me, please don't mistreat yourself trying to understand. Just say hallelujah. But if I'm going to be long, you could say amen, and then I know what's mean. Then I go, But if you want that I be more long, if you like it, message, you can say, God is good, right? But if you are boring with me, please just leave and go, bye-bye. Good? That's fine. Second reason why I'm here, I'm going to go tomorrow to see my sister in Virginia, in Louisa, and share them in a church. But well, the main reason here in Rochester is to see you, and probably as your pastor Rob has told, we're looking to do a partnership with your church and our church. What you say before your pastor give final answer, what you will say, do you like that we have a partnership or not? Yes? Yes? Yes. Let's people vote. Okay, let me explain a little bit what kind of partnership we are looking for. There is a lot of partnership. You are here and somebody's here, so you're first, I'm second. There is partnership that we all like this. You have your agenda, I have my agenda. A lot of different partnership. But we want a partnership that goes together and benefits both parts, not just one part. That is not partnership. Good, so this is how it is. So are you ready now for this partnership or not? Yes. Okay. Good. I'm very happy. I prepared a message last week, and then it was all ready, and then in the hotel when I am, last night my computer doesn't turn on. 1 hour I spent it to fix it, no. So I'm supposed to speak about 10 keys of the expansion of the early church. Now, I'm not saying that was the plans, that God told me to change the plan and do something else. Of course, I did, because computer was not open. So now, last night, I was praying, and then God is leading me to change subject. So today, we are going to speak about this book, Bible. How we are going to handle this book? How we'll handle the Holy Scripture. Forget holy cow. Holy Scripture. How we are going to handle God's Word. So not so much time to go through the old Bible, but we will see this handling only from the books of Acts, because this you are in the middle of this book so far. So first, my passage is in Luke chapter 24. So we can read together. He is Jesus, said he talks to them, to who? To disciples, not of those of 12, but the group of 70 or 72. When this was after he was resurrected. So these two disciples of Jesus was walking, and then you see the text. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things? And then enter his glory. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was he said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Who is the audience? Not 900 people. Not 1,000. Not 10. Two people, two disciples. These disciples been walking toward Jerusalem in a village called Emmaus, dusty road. And they start to talk. Hey, do you see Jesus? Do you hear anything about him? No, no. Probably they killed him somewhere and then he will be there forever. Then probably discussion was, oh, Jesus, poor Jesus. He told us that he's going to be alive, but we don't see. So discussion was like this. And then a stupid conversation toward what was taught Jesus to them. So being talking like this, stupid things, then Jesus appears among them. And now from two became class of three. Then talk like this. Often we are like these two disciples. This is how we talk about church. We talk about scripture. We talk about family. We talk about community. And we believe that Jesus is not hearing only because we can't see him. This happened to these disciples 2,000 years ago. What we say. And then Jesus, he used a very rash words, rash rebuke. Foolish you are. Resurrected Jesus. Last rebuke that he do in this earth, saying two of them, disciples, you are foolish. Who want to be called foolish? Is there anyone here? Tonight? Today? Sorry, it's no lights here. No one want to call, or even those who are foolish, they don't like them to call foolish. But they've been foolish. Often, how we handle the foolishness? Just we say, you are foolish. Somebody said to me, you are foolish, you are fool. And then, it's just, you have, you know, tickets. And then nothing happened. How you handle to correct this? How we pass from foolishness to be a smart, with wisdom, have the wisdom. See Jesus, see Master, how he is handling a situation, hearts of two people, spirits of two people. Then the scriptures, he says, and the beginning with the Moses and the all prophets. What's mean this? All Old Testament from first book to the end of the book. He was explaining about himself. From Emmaus till Jerusalem is 11 kilometers, maybe 6 miles, and took 2 hours to walk. If you could count, does this mean that Jesus for 2 hours explained all these scriptures? Maybe. But why we will limit our imagination that took only 2 hours? They could rest and make 3 hours. They probably spend maybe a night, a day, 2 days, we don't know. Because to explain all these things is not enough. 1 hour, 2 hours. We want short teaching. We want to be picky how we want to read and learn. I grow in a farm. I don't like at all how chickens eat. I like cows, not holy cow. Cows, how they eat. Chicken, you know, you throw it, whatever, and they go, they rush. And then they don't see well, take one corn here, and then jump here, and jump here, jump there. Sometimes we handle Bible like that. One verse here, one next time here, but never you read probably the whole Bible. I have visited 42 countries, and I met a lot of people who, when I ask, they're Christians that never start Bible to read from the beginning to the end. Maybe they read all Bible, but not in the line. Personally, I like how cows eat. Because I have 88 years, I have watched. They go slowly and start from front and then go right and then go left and move and do and this. Your heart makes so nice. Please, eat as cows. If I could offend you, not as a chicken. Chicken is good only in your table. But eat as a cows, slowly, and then see what God is leading. This is a lesson that Jesus was giving these two disciples. How you are with Jesus and you don't know Jesus. In our context, we deal with the Muslims. Then the best narrative that we could build, or we can talk to Muslims, is this scripture. You see, Muslims could now, if you go through this, from Moses to the end of the prophet, then Muslims could get idea, how is this Jesus, from where he comes from? If you say, Jesus is the Son of God, it's hard for them to talk. So, build a good narrative for yourself and those who you spoke with. All these things, it's very interesting to know that how you personally handle the scripture. And Jesus was treating this. He was ready to spend his time with two. And many of us, when we teach in class or in church, we have no admiration when we have small group. But teach every person. No problem if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many could be there? But this is how I could say about this. So final thing about this scripture is this. You are in the Acts. Luke is the author. Luke wrote two books, or one book with two volumes, whatever you say it. And this is from Luke. But now please, have in mind, what author is building here a evidence or a fact is a perspective how we're going to see the whole, the book of facts of handling the scripture, teaching. And then we will see some passages. For me, this is a key passage, how to handle the scripture, the Holy Scripture, in the Acts. Now, let's go to second passage about Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to pray. Now we have this early church, a first church, very fresh church of 3,000 people, not two people anymore. And now Jesus is not teaching them, but who is teaching? Apostles. So these people, I'm not saying that 3,000 people really being devoted, mainly most of them. What's mean devoted, to be devoted? You do things not in your way, but in God's way, godly. In a godly way, with his passion, with his way, and his time. So this means devoted, be dedicated. How much I am devoted to the scripture. how much I am devoted to the teaching of teachers and pastors and elders and the ladies who are teaching here. Where is my mind? Often we're not concentrated, focused. We like that. It's okay what we like, but are we devoted personally to the scripture? Or we just do as once a week is enough what we hear and then we go. See this impact of the early church. They being what? Devoted. To whom? To the teaching of apostles. And then the result was everybody knew about the gospel. Everybody. This life of these people has been changed. This was not Jewish tradition. Jewish tradition, it was only rabbis, you know, to read and be more educated, but not people. Early community has no scripture at all. Some probably they have somebody, but I can't imagine 3,000 people to have Bibles. No, even we are talking only for Old Testament, not even New Testament. How they being devoted and why? How they understand? Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, be among you, teach you, and be with you always, and lead you. Holy Spirit have not came in us just to stand in one corner. Acts 11, no, 8:35. So now we have a unique story Luke has brought here. The Philip, do you know who is Philip? Was chosen as a minister or deacon. In a Greek, deacon means minister. The Philip began with that very passage of the scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Do you know who was this person from Ethiopia? He was one person, eunuch, right? Do you now see what is happening now? Eunuch become unique. How? Eunuch is based in our flesh, body. This is how we identify people. Handling scripture, having scripture in your heart, in your hand, makes you a new person, makes you unique for me. So he is not anymore unique, he's unique. Why? He was not Jewish. He was a Gentile. And I like this person. How? Can you imagine? 2,000 years ago, a person has scripture in his hand. And I love him so much because he was on a donkey or horse and he could read. As today, people drive and see iPhones. But it's different. Donkey is more secure. Do you know how many people has made accident, those who drive and have been reading the Bible? Doesn't happen this. Because not happened with this man from Ethiopia. So, is unique with this person. Because he needed somebody to explain. You have a scripture probably in your phone, in your home, but still, you need somebody to explain something. Study together and go deep and discuss. And then as this person here, Philip, was teaching one person, the Holy Spirit lets him to go and explain how to handle the scripture. Isaiah, prophet of Isaiah. So, for one single person, because this person was very unique, because it was important, was serving the queen. And then the gospel went with him in all that country, in Ethiopia. Do you see how you became unique? Maybe you don't feel today, but this is the authority of our faith. There is no any authority in our faith as a Christian. The Scripture. Scripture and the Holy Spirit that works in our mind, in our souls, in our ministry. This is how we're equipped. If this is too hard, if this is impossible mission, how this good God could give us impossible mission to do? It's not real. It is possible. Was possible because this is how I got saved. Acts 11. He is Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, not half empty, but full of the Holy Spirit, in faith. Maybe we don't feel like this. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Do you see what Barnabas is doing? Barnabas was sent from the church in Antioch. But it was the task was great, and he cannot do all. And then he went to look for Saul. The teacher, body, people, team, be bigger. And this is how he recruited Saul, or Paul, and they teach together. And then you see here, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Please, you are teacher. You can find another person that have same skills. Don't teach alone. If you are married, your wife can teach. Or other people in church, in community. Multiply yourself. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great number of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. See that? For how long was that? 1 hour, right? Yes, should be one hour? 1 year. 1 year. 1 year was teaching in the church. 1 year. A result? There is no any church that have survived for 800 years in the church history than this church because of this foundation. Antioch Church is very known in the history. I will pray and wish, and same thing you will wish for yourself and for your church and states, that Christians has this passion and to handle in this way the Scripture. 1 year just teaching. God has used two things in the historically, the great movements. When people get deep in the Word and seriously in prayer, so Word and prayer when come together, this explode everywhere. So no any other great strategy. The great strategy in this world are people, not anything else. People has the Word and the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest strategy. In Acts 13, 1 and 2, now we see another situation. Then in Antioch has been a group of prophets and teachers. And now we see what happened. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It's not enough just to be focused in Rochester for 1 year or two or three or four. God is calling now friends of your pastor and let's say half of your teacher and go something to another area. God said, set apart. Who have been called to be set apart? Barnabas and Paul that did the greatest job. God is looking to be sent the best. And people who are very prepared. This is how we see in the act. In Acts 15, we have a totally another context. It was, you know, some discussion of what is our faith, what to believe, not to believe, what to eat, not to eat, where to go, how to go. And then leaders, apostles, elders, teachers came together and they discussed all these things. And they wrote down and they sent to the Christians. And it was, this is the base of sound doctrine. And not that everybody in their own see and believe. When God has sent this book to us, is the meaning is in, international meaning is that have just actually one meaning, not two meanings. But if you ask three Christians about same passage, you have five different opinions. Praise the Lord. A new situation is in Acts 17. Berea, guys, I like this so much, and I will tell you why. These people, you see Bereans in 11 and 12, they've been very devoted also to the Word of God and examining the Scripture, you see, examining every day, not once a week, not once a month. And then, as a result, so every time when we go deep in the word and the prayer, result comes. You see the results. Many of them believed in that city, Berea, as did also a number of prominent Greek women. Oh, this is danger. Another translation, they say noble woman. How many prominent or noble women we have today here? Raise hand. Or maybe you don't feel. I love so much the author because you know what he's saying? As I told you, I have studied literature. I got a PhD in literature, not to show up, but just to say how I see the text. Author hears his intention somehow is this. They came to the Lord, prominent Greek woman, noble woman, praise the Lord for this, and some men too. You know, in the East culture, always man you should mention first and not female. But you see this case, does Luke was from Washington or Brussels or from East? He was in the East. Then you see with these prominent ladies, women, how the households has been changed. So let's go to the final passage, actually, Acts 18. What we have here? Here we have one person called Aquila. He have a lot of knowledge of the scripture, great speaker. And he was teaching accurately about Jesus. Praise God for this kind of teacher. How many teachers we need like Aquila? We need a lot, you need a lot. But often happen that teachers, they miss something. Teachers have a lot of books. They show a lot of materials and they are study a lot of things. But sometimes this tell us that something could miss to them. I'm not saying that to everybody happen. Do you know what miss Mr. Aquila, he missed the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine this? He doesn't know that exists the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then how you handle this? Again, a couple. How many couples are here today? Applause for couples. How many of you want to be very soon a couple? Applause for them too. So, man, a husband and wife can teach together. Here we have a case of Priscilla and Aquila. So sorry, I missed before. The guy calls Apollos, not Aquila. Apollos. But now to this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. Woman and husband. What they did? They see Apollos teaching with a great passion. Great. And then after the meeting finished, over, hey, brother, come in our home. Let's have a meal. Let's discuss. And then they explained more about the Holy Spirit. You see in the way how they handle things. But we are not patient. We want to win immediately. We want to throw the stone immediately. What I admire so much of this lady, Priscilla and Aquila, how they handle things when it doesn't match, needs more to add and to be more proper. Great teacher, but he needs for somebody to correct and to instruct and to give advice and not to be arrogant. You see this, is in the churches, in communities, everywhere. In Acts 20:7 is one verse that Paul was preaching too long. So guys, don't preach too long. This is how we said. So those people who want to confront speakers don't preach too long. They go just read that verse, 27. But you know how long he preached? It's probably 6 hours. But too long is not 6 hours. It's 2 hours is too long. And then in verse 32, Apostle Paul, he invited all leaders from the churches in Ephesus, in Milet, and they had a final meeting. In the end, he said, I live in the hand of God and His grace and in His word. This is what Paul says to all elders. What kind of deposit he was passing to leaders. Word. Grace of God. Your parents, your bosses, entrepreneur, ministers, parents, what you will deposit to new generation. Money, cars, wealth, clothes, watches, dynamites, or whatever, or what? What are you going to deposit? Position? My father, he challenged me to take his position. But my Father in heaven, he has another deposit for me. What you're going to deposit to your generation and to your ministers, your work and people that you're together. If you love Paul, if you love Scripture, if you love Jesus, then we are going to deposit on them Word of God, grace, and learn people to be in His hand. Before we pray, let's make some conclusion. Is this how to handle the Word of God? Is a hard work, hard mission? No. Because in us is the Holy Spirit. But please, often us as a Christian, we treat Holy Spirit as we are hotels. I have a good hotel, but I stay two nights and tomorrow I leave and I go in Virginia. So I need hotel for these 2 days. Then when I need hotel, I go there. So when I need Holy Spirit, I invite. When I don't need, then Holy Spirit goes, right? Don't treat Holy Spirit as you are a hotel. You are the home. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, not hotels. You are temple of the living God and temple of the Holy Spirit. You can buy as much books and materials and teach and preach and all this, but please take care again, Holy Spirit, in your life as a leader, as a single person. You have to teach somebody. Learn and teach, this goes process together. Sometimes I learn from somebody and then I teach, so this goes together. And the final thing that will be challenged today is, probably you may think, God, I want to be set apart for your mission, here or whatever. To happen that, never God will call you if you are not prepared. Never God will call you if you don't start to be ready and be prepared. And because in the whole Bible what I read, I have not found any single name that when God has called him or her, was nothing doing, just laying down. And then God said, hey, Abraham, come. No. All of them has been something doing. So please don't use the word busy. What is busy? Busy is more lie in our heads. So people who are doing something, God is adding more to do and more and more. So why are we afraid of taking responsibilities in his way? Not that we pretend. If you are ready and become ready, this is very good. I will want to call you for just maybe a minute to pray and reflect in all this word. And then Brother Rob will come. Holy Father, now I pray for all teachers in this church. Teachers could be the teach here, but teachers in schools, teachers in families, teachers in companies. Give them your authority. Equip them, Lord. And I want that more teachers will come from this church. Great teachers, noble women, devoted community for your word. This is possible in you. And we want to start this journey and be faithful. Now, till you come, in Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you all.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for that great message. Thank you all for being here. Before I send you out, two things. Mercy offering, first Sunday of the month. If you're not familiar with that, it's just an offering not beyond our expenses. You can do that on your way out or online for people in need, families in need, individuals in need outside of our normal ministries. And last but not least, there's a lot, even though Femi said a lot, there's a lot he didn't say about the ministry in Kosovo, the church in Kosovo, even our interest in exploring a partnership with him. And we're going to do that tonight. Little dessert reception, 6 o'clock. All are welcome if you'd like to come be a part of that. Have a great Sunday. See you next week.